call confluentism. Think of it like fixed rules and dynamic choice just flowing together confluently.
Okay, confluently. And here's where it gets really deep, as you hinted. We're taking this metaphysical idea and basically applying it everywhere.
Across the board, physics, evolution, even theology.
Right. And the goal is to understand where this system ultimately leads, which, according to the sources, is this idea of four simultaneous intentions behind the universe itself, which sounds wild.
It is quite a claim, but let's build up to it.
Okay, so grounding this first. Part one, the core synthesis, defining compatibilism. We need the building blocks.
Exactly. The sources lay out three pillars. Maybe think of it like planning a really complex road trip. That might
Or trip analogy. I like it. Okay.
So on one side, you have determinism. That's your fixed map, the stable part. It represents the past, the underlying laws, maybe the micro scale of reality. And fundamentally, it answers WHY something happened.
The causal history is set in stone. The roadmap.
Precisely. Then on the other side, you have free will. Or let's just call it will. This is the dynamic part, the potential.
The driver.
Sort of, yeah. It's linked to dynamism, the future, the macro scale view. And it answers the question, how true W, how we proceed, how we act, how the driver chooses the speed, the route.
The detours, the actual driving decisions.
Exactly. And sitting in the middle, mediating these two. That's compatibilism.
The vehicle itself, maybe. Following our analogy.
Yeah, that works. It's the belief that the map and the driver's choices, they're compatible. It represents the what, the now, the organism, the person, you, making the trip. It's where past necessity meets future potential.
Okay, that leads to this really interesting bit. Compatibilistic anti-determinism. What is that about?
Yeah, this is fascinating. The sources claim we're in a stable deterministic dynamism. Okay, ordered system. But that this system will somehow evolve us more anti-determinists.
Wait, how does that work? More determined makes us feel less determined.
It sounds like a paradox, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is the whole system is certain, determined. But for us, the observers inside it, uncertainty is mandatory. It's built in.
So like the grand plan is fixed, but my personal experience feels like free will.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You exist in this certain whole, but your experience has to involve uncertainty. That feeling of anti-determinism, of choice, isn't an illusion exactly, but the way we perceive this vast determined system from the inside.
Holistic fuzziness of the quantum world, you perceive more potential for rupture, for unpredictability. The system seems designed to maximize potential uncertainty at every level.
Wow. Okay, so it's uncertainty all the way up and all the way down.
In a manner of speaking, yes. Generated by that underlying stability.
All right. So if compatibilism, this engine of law and choice, is so fundamental, the sources argue it must be the root of, well, everything else, all intellectual fields. That's the confluentism idea again.
Absolutely. They see it as the root system. It sets up a kind of logical sequence, what they call the intellectual progression, that just has to flow from accepting this compatibility.
Okay. What's the sequence?
Well, if you accept that determinism and will can coexist, the very first big question that pops up is about ultimate purpose or intention. Why is it like this? So, compatibilism leads straight to teleology, asking the ultimate WHY.
Okay, purpose first, then what?
From WHY, teleology, you naturally ask what? What is the source, the nature of this intentional system? That's theology.
Defining the what.
Then, once you have a sense of the what, you ask how to live or organize within it. That's philosophy.
The practical application or the ethical framework.
Right. And finally, that leads to the nitty-gritty, how the mechanics actually work day to day. That's science. So it all branches out. Compatibilism, teleology, WHY, philosophy, how to.
That's a fascinating hierarchy. And this brings us to teleological pluralism. The sources suggest the original intention couldn't be simple if it's truly perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Perfection in this view isn't singularity. It's not just one thing. It has to be a pluralism of intentions, a reality that is stable, dynamic, complex, and constantly generating more possibilities.
Why plural? Why not just pure goodness, for instance?
Because if the universe only had one single intent, say pure benevolence, it would be, well, kind of simple. Maybe easily proven wrong by suffering or just static. A truly perfect system, the argument goes, must contain the potential for all kinds of outcomes, all intentions.
Okay, so this is where the four categories come in. The fundamental architectures or intentions that are supposedly preserved in reality and fluctuate equally.
That's right. These are the four big forces we supposedly observe constantly in play.
Number one.
One, ideal. This is linked to benevolence,
dynamism, the drive towards the good, growth, improvement.
Okay, number two.
Two, abandoned. This is associated with absurdity, the feeling of randomness, meaninglessness, sheer monotony. Things just happen for no reason.
Three,
experimental. This is about exception, opportunism, the unexpected breakthrough, the lucky accident, the mutation that works.
And finally, number four.
Four, fatal. This is tied to malevolence, degradation, entropy, the potential for harm, decay, and things getting worse.
So reality isn't just one of these. It's a constant churning mix of all four. Ideal, abandoned, experimental, fatal.
Constantly fluctuating, yes. And here's the kicker, the prediction about evidence.
What's that?
The sources predict that if you rigorously gather evidence for, say, the ideal intention, you find amazing proof of benevolence in the world, you will never disprove the others.
That won't cancel them out.
No. Instead, finding strong evidence for one will simultaneously uncover equivalent evidence for the other three. Evidence for benevolence will also highlight absurdity, exception, and the fatal. The system is designed to remain perfectly balanced, keeping all four intentions perpetually plausible.
That's quite a claim about how evidence works. It implies a kind of necessary ambiguity in reality.
A necessary pluralism, yes. Which leads us into the final part.
Part four, realism, observation, and this idea of an incentive to improve.
Right. So connecting back to the core argument, the sources suggest that even people who argue against compatibilism, the hard incompatibilists.
People who say it's either determinism or free will, no mixing.
Exactly. Their arguments inadvertently support compatibilism. The critique is that hard incompatibilism often sounds less like a working theory and more like a, well, a complaint.
A complaint.
Yeah, like it complains about the feeling of freedom being an illusion, but doesn't properly explain why that illusion, that antideterministic function, is even there within its supposedly fixed system. Why does the system produce the feeling of choice if it's meaningless?
So you can't just say choice is an illusion without explaining the function or purpose of that illusion within the deterministic setup.
Precisely. The function needs explaining, and this ties directly into the role of the observer, of us. The sources link our sense of certainty directly to our active will to engage. There's this really striking quote.
What is it?
There is no certainty while there is a will to observe what is happening.
Okay, wait. That flips things completely. Usually, we think observation creates certainty. We observe, we measure, we become more certain.
Right. But here, the will to observe, the active engagement, the decision to look, that itself is presented as an anti-deterministic force. It injects a necessary uncertainty back into the system by the very act of looking.
So our trying to pin things down actually keeps them fluid.
In a way, yes. The will to know prevents absolute knowing, which leads to this rather down-to-earth proposal from the sources.
Yes.
We are all compatibilists, even if we explain it worse every time. Essentially, we all act as if we have meaningful choices within a world that also has rules. It's just our default operating mode, even if we tie ourselves in knots trying to philosophize about it.
It's how we live, regardless of the label.
Exactly. It's our operational state.
Okay. So this constant dynamic tension, this mix of the four intentions, especially the ideal versus the fatal, this brings us to the final big concept, the fine fatal principle. Why does the system seem to need the bad stuff, the fatal intention?
It sounds harsh, but the argument is about incentive. The incentive to improve must be preserved.
How so?
The source argues, and it's a powerful point. And now to improve is better than one that doesn't need it. Think about it. If our current situation wasn't, in some objective way, worse than what the ideal could be.
If we reach some kind of static perfection.
Exactly. If all error, all suffering, all potential for degradation was just gone, then the entire engine of dynamic progress, the will to strive, to change, to evolve, it would just stop. There'd be no reason.
So the system needs friction. It needs the potential for things to go wrong, the fatal, to generate the urgency, the motivation for us to observe, to act, to choose to move toward the greater good.
That's the core idea. The existence of potential malevolence, absurdity, degradation, it's presented as a necessary catalyst. It keeps us engaged, keeps us striving, keeps the whole dynamic system moving.
It keeps the will to observe active.
Precisely.
Okay, wow. That is a lot to process. So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, for the listener? We've journeyed through this idea of confluentism.
Yeah, this view of reality as a complex, almost fractal mix of fixed laws, determinism, and dynamic will, freedom.
And seeing how it provides a structure where multiple, even conflicting intentions, the ideal, the abandoned, the experimental, and the fatal can coexist.
Yeah.
And that coexistence is what the sources call perfection.